Hey K-pop fans, welcome to Journeys Through K-pop. Are you a new fan who's not sure what groups to check out first? Or are you a seasoned listener on the lookout for new groups? Do you just like hearing the ups and downs of all kinds of groups? My name is Zange. I used to be overwhelmed with the sheer amount of K-pop groups and soloists that are out there. I only stuck to listening to a couple of groups that I knew I liked and didn't bother to branch out. I just thought there were way too many options out there. However, I was eventually able to branch out because of recommendations I got from friends. They were tailored to me and the genres of music I already knew I liked, so once I knew what I was looking for, finding new groups on my own was a breeze. In this podcast, you will get recommendations of different K-pop groups and songs based on genres that you may already be familiar with. You'll also learn some of the history behind each group and where they are today. So, let's dive in! Hello and welcome back to another episode of Journeys Through K-Pop! This week we are talking about Girls' Generation. They are a girl group under SM Entertainment, currently made up of 8 members. Taeyeon, Sunny, Tiffany, Hyoyeon, Yuri, Suyoung, Yuna, and Soyeon. They used to be made up of 9 members. The 9th member, Jessica, left the group in 2014. We are going to just jump right in, starting with their pre-debut. Unlike the other groups we've talked about on this show so far, Girls' Generation was not formed through any type of show or competition. They instead were formed the way most K-pop groups are formed, where companies will select the trainees that they want for the group and put them in that group. And something that hasn't really come up until now is that trainees can join the company and stay as trainees for a really long time. As a matter of fact, members that would later go on to be in Girls' Generation joined SM Entertainment as trainees as early as 2000. Specifically, Jessica, Suyoung, and Hyoyeon joined in 2000, Yuri joined in 2001, Yuna joined the company in 2002, Soyeon joined in 2003, Taeyeon and Tiffany both joined in 2004, which leaves us Sunny, who is actually a bit of an odd case. So she initially joined SM Entertainment as a trainee in 1998, and after 5 years of being a trainee, she left for another company, but in 2007 she went back to SM Entertainment on the recommendation of a colleague, and she was added to the group. So their debut happened on August 3rd, 2007, with the release of a single, Into the New World, with the title track of the same name. This was only a moderate success for the group. It hit number 5 on the monthly chart by the Music Industry Association of Korea. You may have heard me mention the Gaon chart in previous episodes. The Gaon chart actually didn't exist at this point in time, so measuring chart performance of songs and albums by today's standard is a little bit more difficult when we're talking about groups that are this old. However, this song did net the group their first win, and it's still very popular today. It feels a bit like an anthem, and overall, I would just recommend anyone listen to it, no matter what type of music you like. Moving on to their first era, from 2007 to 2011, it's sort of their climb to fame of sorts. Their title tracks combine dance pop, bubblegum pop, and electropop influences, although it's worth noting that the later title tracks of this era are mainly dance pop and electropop influenced. But if you like any of those genres, you should listen to these title tracks, and specifically they are Girls' Generation, Baby Baby, G, Genie, O, Run Devil Run, Hoot, and The Boys. So later in 2007, they released their first full album called Girls' Generation, with the title track of the same name, and it became the 12th best-selling album of 2007 in Korea. In 2008, they released the repackage of this album under the title Baby Baby. Repackages are weird, and this group does quite a bit of them throughout their career. Basically, they take all of the songs from that previous album that they released, and they add some new songs in there to give it a little more spice, or at least that's how I word it. But they do this quite a bit throughout their career. Moving on to 2009, with the release of their first mini album called G with the title track of the same name. And G is a huge, huge, huge success for the group. Like, this song went viral over and over again. And it was number one on the show Music Bank for 9 weeks in a row. For those of you who don't know, Music Bank is one of a number of music shows in South Korea where they hold weekly episodes, and that is how different groups and soloists get wins, by winning whatever chart formulation that the show comes up with. Everyone's a little bit different. Going back to the success of G, this song won Song of the Year twice for the group. Later in 2009, they released their second mini album called Genie with the title track of the same name. There's a wee bit of a controversy with the cover art due to some unintended World War II and Nazi symbols, but they thankfully delayed the physical release of this mini album so they could edit the cover art. Going on to 2010 with O, which is their second full album with the title track of the same name. Later that year, they release a repackage of this album under the title Run Devil Run with the title track of the same name on that one. Also in 2010, they have their Japanese debut. Their first release in Japan is a single with the Japanese version of Genie, and it's actually quite a successful debut for the group in Japan, and they had continued success later on in that market, especially with their original songs. The group's last release of 2010 was their third mini album called Hoot with the title track of that same name. Then in 2011, they released their third full album called The Boys, again with the title track of the same name. And fun fact, this was their first album to also be released in the United States. There's a few different levels of success here. In the Korean market, this is easily their most successful Korean release. It sold nearly 500,000 copies. On the other hand, their US success was quite limited. It only sold about 1,000, but this can be attributed to K-pop being not quite as widely known over here as it is today. Later that year, they released a repackage of this album under the title Mr. Taxi. And they do release the title track of the same name with this album as well, but this is actually a Korean version of one of their Japanese songs, which is interesting. We're now at 2012, so that brings us to our second era, 2012 to the present, which we are labeling continued success and branching out, because there is quite a bit of that here. For the most part, the title tracks keep the same electronic and dance pop influences, but bubblegum pop does come back as an influence in a few of these. Specifically, these title tracks are I Got a Boy, Mr. Mister, Lionheart, You Think, All Night, Holiday, and Forever One. So, 2012, there was not a lot that actually happened for the group this year aside from Japanese releases. Many of the girls in the group were actually focusing on their acting careers, especially in the earlier part of the year, so as a result, Girls' Generation received their first subunit called TTS, made up of members Taeyeon, Tiffany, and Sohyun, and they released a mini-album called Twinkle with the title track of the same name. That seems to be a reigning pattern with this group. Moving on, we have in 2013 the release of their fourth full album called I Got a Boy with the title track of the same name, and the music video for I Got a Boy actually won Video of the Year at the YouTube Music Awards, which is especially notable because they beat out quite a few other popular contenders. I believe Justin Bieber was one of them, as well as Psy. On to 2014. With the release of their fourth mini-album, Mr. Mister, with the title track of the same name. And after this mini-album releases, Jessica leaves the group. The official reason for her leaving is that SM Entertainment said that she was dismissed from the group due to conflicts between the group schedule and her personal schedule. Jessica has since done a wide variety of things, such as launching a fashion brand, becoming a soloist under a different company. She's written a couple of fiction books, and she's even opened a restaurant. I will say, since her leaving the group and her embarking on some of these other activities, a lot of speculation and rumors have sprung up online. I would highly, highly, highly encourage you, if you're curious, to do your own research, because we will not be spreading those kinds of rumors on this show. going on to 2015 with the album Lionheart. It's their fifth full album, and this one actually has two title tracks, one called Lionheart and another called You Think. 2016, Not All That Happens, TTS releases another mini album. And then in 2017, we have their sixth full album called Holiday Night with two title tracks called Holiday and All Night. And this release is actually in honor of the group's 10th anniversary. Also this year is contract renewal time, which some of you might be a little confused, since if you listened to my Twice episode, I said that contracts usually last 7 years. This is a bit of an exception, especially because this is an older group. A number of older contracts for K-pop groups usually last about 10 years. I believe this to be the case with Girls' Generation. Tiffany, Suyoung, and Soyeon are the three members that do not renew their contracts. However, in spite of this, the group does not disband, specifically because these three left the company on the condition that the group stays together. Then in 2018, we get another subunit. This one is called OGG. It's made up of Taeyeon, Sunny, Hyoyeon, Yuri, and Yuna. In other words, the five members who renewed their contracts with SM Entertainment, and they release a single called Little Touch. For the most part, from 2015 to now, all of the members are focusing on their solo careers. However, in 2022, they do have another release, their seventh full album called Forever One, with the title track of the same name, and this one is actually in honor of the group's 15th anniversary. So that brings us to the present day. So when most K-pop groups re-sign contracts or renegotiate contracts, they usually sign a contract extension for not quite as many years as their initial contract. So Sunny's contract extension expired in 2023, and she has since left SM Entertainment. For the most part, all of the members of the group continue to focus on their solo careers, whether it's singing or acting or something else entirely. I'm looking at you, Hyoyeon, with your DJing. And as of 2024, it is currently unclear if or when the group is going to have another comeback. If we're lucky, we might get something for their 20th anniversary, but that is also 3 years away. Going on to our next segment, it is B-side recommendation time. As always, we are going to start off with the ballads. For those, we have Complete, Lost in Love, and Light Up the Sky. We have a couple of songs in the synth and synth-pop territory, Telepathy and Freedom. There's a few rock-inspired B-sides as well, namely Way to Go and Best Friend, which are on the lighter side of the rock inspiration. And we also have Flyers, which is a Japanese B-side, actually. This one's a little heavier rock. I wouldn't label it outright heavy rock, but it's not quite as light rock as the first two songs I've listed for this category. There's a few R&B songs, namely Kissing You, Check, and Mood Lamp. We've also got a couple of EDM songs, Trick and Echo. And this is a new one. We also have some jazz and funk-inspired songs, Love is Bitter and Top Secret. Moving on to our last segment, my personal favorite. This is a really hard one for me to think about because Girls' Generation was my first exposure to K-pop that I actively seeked out. And I've listened to a number of their songs over the years, but I think I genuinely have to go with You Think on this. It's just so catchy and badass of a song. You can definitely tell there's some funk influences in here. And honestly, I just love music that gives off cool girl energy, and that is all over this song. That is all we have for Girls' Generation today. This was probably the hardest to research episode to date, just because of how old the group is. So if you or someone you know listened to Girls' Generation, especially in like 2007 to 2011, I would highly encourage that you reach out to me. I would love to know what your experiences with being a fan of the group at that time were. Hey K-pop fans, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take just a moment to leave a review and share it with any friends who might enjoy it. Also, be sure to subscribe to Zange's YouTube channel, Zange DuPont. It makes me so happy to know that you're enjoying this podcast. I'll be back next week with another episode. Later!